thinking this morning that if I were on a passionate mission, and just indulge me here a moment with where I'm going, but if I were on a passionate mission and founded an organization called, quote, Americans Against $4 Bills, Americans Against $4 Bills, and my drive in life, I mean, my passion and just the justification of my existence is to disprove the existence of $4 bills, you might, in a kind, friendly manner, possibly pull me aside and question just the wisdom and the great expense and the great energy and resources in disproving something that I myself clearly do not believe even exist, at least in our U.S. currency. And as I was thinking about this morning, I was originally going to say $3 bill, but I discovered that there actually was a $3 bill in the 1850s. It was not passed by our U.S. Treasury, but there was a $3 bill in the 1850s when private banks and companies would print their own money. And interestingly enough, one of the bills even featured Santa Claus in his sleigh as the picture on the bill. But they obviously lost their value as the U.S. Treasury never issued a $3 bill. But back to the question, why would I obsess and spend a lifetime disproving something that doesn't exist on any level? Why would I take the energy, the resource? Why would I expend great effort and passion and dogmatically claim something that doesn't even exist? I may be somewhat sincere, though misguided. I may be somewhat well-intended, yet illogical, I think we would agree. I may be a self-professing expert in pointing out the arrogance of this belief, while I myself am displaying arrogance. I may champion tolerance in every other train of thought in the world while not being tolerant in this particular belief. I could go on and I could rant about a sectarian point of view while being divisive and sectarian myself, or oppressively fighting against supposed oppression. I may lay open the charge that belief and a $4 bill, that actually discriminates against every other denomination in our U.S. Treasury currency. So why obsess in disproving something, again, that I absolutely claim doesn't exist? Would it not, in fact, be a non-issue to take great pains to make a statement? It just doesn't exist. You would think it would cancel itself out based on being a non-issue. Why actually would I even care if, in fact, it doesn't exist? What would I be so afraid of, unless deep down inside I believe there really was possibly a $4 bill and it could change the way I live my life a little bit? Then it would become an issue. You know, it's funny, all the things that come out on TV these days, and I don't know that I've ever fully watched this, but I have seen it when I've been channel surfing before. How many of y'all have seen, and I think it's on Animal Planet, Finding Bigfoot? If any of y'all have seen that, and that is actually a legitimate program that comes on, and, you know, it's a little bit entertaining, and I don't believe in it, but here's the catch. It doesn't bother me. I don't believe in it. It doesn't bother me. I don't obsess with it. I don't lay awake at night being concerned about it. I don't spend thousands of dollars campaigning against the very idea and the notion about it. Matter of fact, it's kind of tickled because they always have their night vision on and, you know, they're out in the woods at dark and all of a sudden it's like, did you see that tree branch move? Did you see something went by? And so it's like at the height of the climax, bless God, we've got a tree branch that's moving. Hallelujah. I mean, it's like, or, you know, there was a bird feeder that moved, you know, or my favorite is when they go to a certain location, and it could be here, it could be Canada, some other part of the world, and they'll go and they'll look at the layout of the land and they'll say, it's looking kind of squatchy, isn't it? Talking about Sasquatch, looking kind of squatchy. So I get a little bit tickled just listening to it. But again, don't lose any sleep over it. Doesn't bother me. So Americans against $4 bills, not much of a cause, especially if we don't believe in them. And obviously, you can figure out where I'm going with this. As you may have heard, as is common this time of year, there is a 40-foot by 40-foot electronic billboard that's been erected in Manhattan's Times Square with the huge words, "Who needs Christ during Christmas?" Nobody. And it's an electronic sign, so it goes from phase to phase right there in Times Square, which many think is the epicenter of the world. But right there, it says, "Who needs Christ?" And then a hand comes with a pencil and marks out Christ, and it says, "Nobody." And then they go on to segue, "Happy holidays, American atheist." It's like, wow, well, wonderful. And for some of y'all that are familiar with this society and this organization, it was founded by Madeline Murray O'Hara in 1963, who definitely was a culture shaper in the 60s. It's interesting, her son had a born-again experience and began to strike out to undo a lot of the damage he felt like his misguided mother, some of the efforts she had made. But cynicism and maybe a tad of righteous anger aside, you almost feel sorry that so much zeal and energy and thought and expense, in other words, an obsession, because it is an obsession, goes into something that a group proclaims doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, why bother? I get tickled watching Finding Bigfoot. Don't believe in it, but it just can't bother me. It doesn't have a hook in my life on any level. It's a non-issue. So again, if it's proclaimed that it's not real, who would care about disproving a $4 bill? It feels like a losing proposition. And ironically, it is a belief system. It is a belief system based on an ill-informed faith. And as one guy given to Eastern philosophy declared, he said, quote, "There is no God out there. We are God. I'm God. You are God. You just have to realize it." And I think maybe if we had been standing there in that moment, we might have politely asked, well, all right, if you're God, create a tree for me. No, let me make it easy. Create a rock. We'll just start there. Create a rock if you're God. Logic. You see, taking Christ out of Christmas, it's like taking mothers out of Mother's Day. How many of you know that's just against nature? You could be locked up in prison for doing something like that, taking moms out of Mother's Day. It's just against nature. It's like taking Martin Luther King out of Martin Luther King Day. It just isn't logical. It's like taking thanks out of Thanksgiving. Who would think? But I'm so grateful for our belief rooted in history and rooted in truth that we weren't so bored that we had to come up with something to satisfy the definition of our existence. Oh, because we so needed a crutch. Oh, because we so had a need to believe that somehow we created this. And I mean, even if we thought we would, it would just be illogical and chaotic. There wouldn't be consistencies. I mean, there's no way you can get thousands of years of prophecy to line up in one man. The probability of that is like a tornado blowing through a junkyard, and then the aftermath of that is a fully assembled Boeing airplane, fully fueled and ready to take off. The numbers are staggering when you do the math. But God is a God of order. But thank God for our belief that is rooted in real history, that is rooted in real truth. Thousands of years ago, the prophet Isaiah, who was a historical figure in history, he prophesied, "For unto us," and y'all know this, Isaiah 9, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David," again, another historical figure, "and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God has foreshadowed and foretold many times over. And this passage in Isaiah is absolutely amazing to me, how the Ancient of Days becomes an infant. That's an amazing thing in our eyes. Spirit taking on flesh, God becoming man, the infinite entering the finite, the eternal becoming temporarily time-bound due to love. The everlasting Father is a son given, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. He is freely given to us, even in our fallen state, even in our ignorance. He's freely given to us. "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given." Almost seems too holy and too beautiful to be true. Almost. The incarnation, it's a miracle of miracles. And when we look at creation, we don't doubt it. We look at an ocean. We look at the mountains. We look at the animal kingdom. I remember hearing actress Goldie Hawn when she was kind of on the upswing back in the 70s in her career, and her dad, and this was not even from a biblical perspective, obviously, but he said, "Sweetheart, you're going to be tempted to get too big for your britches. And not if the time comes, but when the time comes, I want you to go and find any ocean of your choice, stand on the shoreline and gaze in that big old ocean, and then remember the perspective of how you feel looking at this vast ocean." When we look at creation, when we look at the handiwork of God, we would logically think, why not? Why could there not be a God and a creator? It is the logical position to say, why not? Luke 2:11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Why not believe in love? Why not believe in the original intention of the Father? Why not believe in that plan that was in his heart to redeem men, to run a rescue, to come in the form of man? He wanted to relate with the man he created, so he became a man. If his passion were birds, he would come in the form of a bird, but his passion was not birds. His passion wasn't the animal planet, although he created them. And again, for our enjoyment and to show forth the variety of God, the Creator. But he came as a man to reach man, and he came in as a man to reach men. Why not believe? Why allow tough experiences, life experiences, bitterness, faulty reasoning to determine the most objective of all truths? God has clearly made himself known. I can remember back in my 30 plus years ago, even when I was doing my thing. Did you ever have a season in your life where you were doing your thing? Even when I was doing my thing, put an A in there instead of an I. Even when I was doing my thing, I still knew God was real. I still knew at the end of the day, I was going to have to make my peace with God. You say, where'd you get that from? How do you know it? I just knew it. Oh, you're just a product of culture. Oh, you're born in the South. Oh, could it have been influenced from this or that? Well, yes, but it was deeper than that. It was something in my core, something in my gut. I knew that I would need to make peace with God. I had that knowledge burned on my heart and burned in my mind. And even though I was doing what I wanted to do, I could not suppress the knowledge that I knew in the core of me. At least there was enough integrity to admit while I was living for myself that ultimately I was going to have to make peace with this Creator God. At some point, I knew it. I didn't necessarily need someone to bring it home, although they did bring it home. That information, that knowledge, like a wood-burning set, was already just burnt, stamped on my mind and on my heart. That's why in witnessing scenarios, when we're talking to someone who possibly could be a God mocker or an atheist, and even though we want to be respectful and polite, there have been so many times just right in the middle of our dialogue or our heated discussion or our mature disagreement, I'll just stop and I'll say, you know there's God. You know it. And even though their head's going like this, I said, in your heart, you're going just like this. You know it in your knower. You're created to know it. You're even made in His image. He's the one that gives you the ability to choose because He wanted you to freely come to Him by choice. I think if I were God, I'd make everyone robotic. But in order for worship to be worship, we have to have the choice not to worship for it to be worship. Are we here? He took the risk of giving us that choice. Just like Lucifer in the beginning, there was the choice. Humans have the choice, but He wants us to come to Him freely. And today I choose to come to Him freely. But there is a day coming where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Then it goes from voluntary to involuntary. I want to go ahead and voluntarily bow the knee now and say, You are Lord. I know it in my heart. You're God. I know there's something bigger than self. I know there's something bigger than this existence. There must be. There has to be. I know it. I know it. God has clearly made Himself known through creation, what is made, through our own conscience, the umpire of the soul, through the words of God, the Word of God. God has made Himself known through Jesus, the story of the incarnation. God has made Himself known through history. He's made Himself known through the miracles. He's made Himself known through consistent testimony, through personal encounter, time and time and time again. The Bible is still the number one bestseller. Back in the day when Voltaire said the Bible will go extinct, it's interesting God's sense of humor how 100 years to the day the Geneva Bible Printing Society set up shop right in his house, began printing Bibles right out of the house of the man who declared the Bible will go extinct. The Bible is still the number one bestseller. What a hoax, all based upon that a $4 bill exists. A bestseller because of a $4 bill? Really? Oh, the $4 bill standing the test of time. Don't think so. Its falsehood would die out in a half second. Where are the testimonies over thousands of years of those that have seen a $4 bill, actually handled a $4 bill, bought merchandise with one, had volumes of books written on it, eyewitness accounts of one whose life has been changed by it, whole institutions erected worldwide from hospitals to orphanages to churches to care centers to benevolence and mercy and compassion organizations because of it, to transformation of lives, the transformation of government, transformation of nations. How many untold lives have sacrificed everything, traveling the four corners of the world as missionaries because of a $4 bill? What would turn a Saul into a Paul? What would get Lazarus out of the grave? Who turned the water into wine? What heals the leper and stills the storm or feeds the 5,000? The faulty notion of a $4 bill a lie? Would Peter be crucified upside down and the martyrs, the disciples martyred for a lie? Oh, Peter was martyred because he needed a crutch. He was martyred because he was intellectually incompetent. Thousands and thousands of Christians were thrown to the hungry lions in Roman Colosseums because of the faulty claim of a $4 bill. Are millions and millions of Christians around the world delusional? Times Square billboard, who needs Christ during Christmas? I want to get on the rooftop and shout, everybody needs him. Everybody, my friend, needs him. Everybody needs him. I think once again the enemy overplayed its hand. I actually think it's going to provoke thought. I think the lack of mere logic as Christ is scratched out of Christmas is actually going to provoke thought that it's an illogical question. As Christmas is all about the Christ mass. And so, once again, you just cannot keep a good man down. He will rise up. Every time someone in the early church was martyred, seven more believers would come to faith. Every time there seemed to be an oppressive shutdown, something would rise up in a greater way. We do a lot of work with the underground house church movement in China. 30,000 come to the Lord a day. One of the greatest places of persecution in the world. But again, you can't keep it down. When they had to go underground, it actually spread more rapidly. He will make his name known. His testimony will be felt, seen, and known. Can't keep it down. Who needs Christ during Christmas? Everyone. He died for everyone. He was given for everyone. That's the good news during the season. Even those that are enemy of the faith, we can say with a smile, he even loves you. He came for you. Even in the midst of your confusion and your misguidedness, he still comes for you. And while you're alive, the ball is still in your court. Please think it through. Please don't allow your worldview to be determined by some bitterness of days gone by, or just refusing to submit to that which is real and truthful. He came for you. He came for all. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. He's been given for everyone. That's the amazing thing. This is not exclusive. For everyone. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few choose to be chosen. When you hear his voice, oh, don't harden your heart. Won't you let him in? Won't you let him come near? Won't you draw near? Oh, he so loves you. So cares about you. Been given for everyone. Been given for the God mocker. Amazing to me. I mean, if I were God and someone was mocking me, I'd say, that's it. You know, he pardons anyone that will come. He says, to those who come, I will in no wise cast out. Amazing thing to me. He's been given for everyone, the God mocker. The atheist, the agnostic, the tax collector, the prostitute, the doubting Thomas, any enemy of the faith. He's been given for every Darwinist. He's been given for every Christopher Hitchens. He's been given for every Richard Dawkins. He's been given for every Carl Sagan. He's been given for every Ebenezer Scrooge. He's been given for whoever that is you have to work with that you're convinced is one step beneath Frankenstein. That's just horrible, you know, or maybe even a family member. You just feel like, oh, dear Lord, anybody could get saved but that one. You know, I mean, you know, it's just funny how we put parameters on the grace of God and what he can do and what he cannot do. Anyone is a candidate for the grace of God. All he requires is that we turn to receive that grace. Just turn to receive it. For you see, unto us a child has been born. For unto us a son has been given. That's the tragedy, is the grace of God has unlocked the jail cell with the notice you can go free. And people are like, I won't go free. I mean, she's kind of like a little kid, you know, and they're determined to pout. Now, come on now. Let's just go ahead. I can remember when I was in kindergarten. I remember one time running away from home. This is hilarious. I got in an argument with my mother. And I said, I'm going to run away. She goes, you really want to run away? She called my bluff. I'm going to run away. So she goes, all right, well, let me help you. So she packed up a little bag for me and across the street, they were building a house, and there was one of these big concrete tunnels they had across the street, and I thought, well, I'll just kind of curl up in that. So I went over there and had my little bag and kind of got in that concrete tunnel, and I was there, you know. And then about dinner time, and people would make fun of my mother because of her southern accent. So about dinner time, she went, Tyler, all growing up, when people would call my house, you know, they'd say, you know, ding-a-ling, hello, may I speak to Taylor? Just a minute, Tyler, telephone. So then when I'd get on the phone, they'd go, Tyler, you know. So at any rate, around dinner time, she went outside and she went, Tyler. She said, time to come to dinner. I said, okay. And I just went on back, you know. But all we have to do is to turn, and the grace is there. We don't even have to backtrack all the mess that we created. We don't have to pay penance. We don't have to earn his affection. We don't have to prove that we're worthy. None of us are. We're objects of his love. All we have to do is accept the grace. So when the voice comes, it's dinner time. We just need to say, okay, I'll come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'll come. He's invited everyone. Go into the highways and the byways and invite them to come in, that my house would be filled. Invite them. And those that are arrogant, don't feel like they need it, well, then go to the down and out. Go to the downtrodden. Go to anyone and everyone. This gospel is for all. It knows no discrimination. It didn't matter what we, oh, but my past, oh, the blood of Jesus takes that away. Receive the grace. Refuse to be defined by pain, which has formed your worldview, that you're so sure there is no God. The irony is there are so many that are mad at God who they claim they don't believe in. If he's not real, why would you be mad with him? We're just mad that God gets all the attention, but you don't believe in him. You can't go there logically. Can't go there. You've got to be a little bit sound in this debate, you see. Bitter at God when the $4 bill doesn't exist. Why the obsession? Why? So, as I mentioned to you, I have zero obsession with Bigfoot. None. I have nothing to prove. If he's there, great. It's just not an issue. Why spend everything to disprove there's no $4 bill? Who needs Christ at Christmas? Are you kidding me? Multitudes reject him while the ball again is still in their court. While alive, the invitation still stands. While alive, we experience the mercy seat this side of eternity. Once the culmination of the ages takes place, or once someone passes away, there's not opportunity at that time. But if he's not real, why devote a whole life fighting him whom you claim doesn't exist? What a waste. Similar to spending a lifetime fighting the idea of pink polka-dotted elephants and purple giraffes. National Society Against Pink Elephants. Go figure. The reason there's no organization called Americans Against $4 Bills is because $4 bills don't exist. The reason there is an organization called American Atheist is because God does exist. Do you get it? Do you get it? They ironically are obsessed with God all the time. All the time. His lack of existence has defined them. Interesting. His lack of existence has defined them. Determines their every waking hour, their passion, their drive, their resources, their money, their energy. The lack of his existence, you see. See, polka-dotted pink elephants, we think it's silly because it is silly because there's no evidence. With God, plenty of evidence. Evidence everywhere. That's the issue. Evidence everywhere. Evidence everywhere. It's everywhere. The self-revelation of God. God through His Son. God through creation. God through the conscience. God through the multitudes around the world that have encountered Him. Again and again and again and again and again and again. We just know in our knower that it's real. You see. So we don't fear the debate. It only is going to somehow highlight the reality of God and His goodness and His kindness. Romans 1, 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Verse 19, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds, animals, and reptiles. Goes on in verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and created and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. They suppress the truth. It's a choice. They're operating on a basis of faith. It's a choice. I can't figure out this. I'm vexed. I'm perplexed. Therefore, I'm going to choose. Then, therefore, there must not be God. Leaving no room for mystery, based on pain, based on misinformation, based on pride. But in the heart of hearts, in the core, the concern is the sense He does and the fact that He could or He does, it could threaten my existence. And all of a sudden, accountability comes into place. See, if I can convince myself and everyone else there's no God, then I'm free from accountability. But if I dare admit there's a Creator, there's a God, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'm made in His image, then I have to answer to Him. And I don't want to answer, so I'm going to pretend He's not there. I'm going to pretend He's not there. I can't hear it. It's like, sweetheart, it's right there. If we got up on top of this building, we could say, I don't believe in gravity. I don't believe it. Well, people talk about breaking the law of gravity. You don't break the law of gravity. You demonstrate gravity when you step off and bust your head. And so our rationale, our self-made rationale, doesn't discount that objective reality that's bigger than us. For unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. For our mess, He has been given. He has been given. I love the songs we sing during this season because they're so rich with theological meaning. I love Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's written by John Wesley's brother. John Wesley, as you know, is the founder of Methodism. His brother was the songwriter, Charles Wesley, in 1739. And again, just rich with theological truth. I love how he declared how God and sinners reconciled. God and God mocker reconciled. God and agnostic. God and atheist. God and God hater reconciled through Jesus. God and the rebellious reconciled. God and the idolater reconciled. It's an amazing thing. It's a love story. In our hearts, we know that it's real. Just throws these stanzas up. I just, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. I mean, He was born King. Love that. Normally when a baby's born, you know, you bring little cute paraphernalia, little rattlers and little toys, things to teeth on, little fluffy animals. You don't bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh to a baby shower unless it's a king. I love this. Glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Second, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. He's not up for re-election. He's everlasting, eternal God, forever and ever, forever and ever. It's not a democracy. There's a theocracy. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased is man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. My favorite is this third stanza. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Whew. Love it. Born that man no more may die. I give my life for your life. My life for your life. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. In other words, we can begin again as if we've never sinned. Justification, just as if I've never sinned. Born, all things pass away. All things become new. New. It's a miracle how that happens. It's amazing to me. At Thanksgiving, we were with our extended family and my little niece. There was always this banter going on, and they were cutting up, just saying, remember when we were watching the home videos and you did this and you were acting this way? And they were saying, remember that kind of acting like a little B-R-A-T? And she goes, look, why do you bring that up? I'm a new creation. Why are you always bringing that up? I thought, I like that. You know, I'm a new creation. And it's a beautiful thing, you see, this second birth, this new beginning. We can have a new beginning. You say, that's too good to be true. It's the whole crux of this love story we're talking about. It is too good to be true, but it's true. That's why we're wowed. That's why we give him our worship. Because humanly speaking, who could remove guilt? Who could lift condemnation? Who can erase the record? Only but Christ and his cross and his blood. Our self-help, our human effort, our striving to do better. Psychiatrists listen to people weekly in their office. If there's too much blame, they add a little guilt. If there's too much guilt, they add a little blame, try to balance it out. No, in one fell swoop, God knocks the scales over and he decrees pardon, forgiven, delivered, love it, born to give them second birth, the God of the second chance. He makes us a new creation in Christ. Therefore, we too say, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to this newborn king. It is, in fact, as Jimmy Stewart says, a wonderful life. How can there be no God? It's illogical. Everything in us resonates with his existence. We've come too far. We've experienced too much. No one should obsess with what is believed to be false. No one should waste the time on the $4 bill. Everyone, however, should obsess with what is true. We have a great, great salvation. And in this season, we're thanking him for coming. We're thanking him. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we just love you today. Lord, thank you for your kindness to us, what this season represents. Lord, we just pray for those right now in our world that don't know you, those in our immediate world that don't know you. Lord, we pray that even as you had patience with us, have patience with them. Lord, even as you extended mercy to us, extend mercy to them. May we see them through eyes of redemption. Lord, may we take nothing for granted. But Lord, may we realize that we're all just objects of your grace and kindness. Father, I just pray that just great love would well up in us, Lord, during this time, this season. Oh, God, may we be full of worship, full of passion. Father, may we not be judgmental. May we be quick to just release and pray. Spend that time praying for the redemption of those misguided. And Lord, we just pray in that the very heart of Manhattan, your testimony is going forward. Lord, that you are making your name known. Lord, that popular culture is going to be leavened with the very knowledge of the Lord. May the knowledge of the Lord cover the earth, even as the waters cover the sea, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord. Again, as we say, if you're here today, you don't know the Lord, don't leave. Come up, want to pray for you. This is your moment. If your heart's beating and you're thinking, this is my time, this is my, that's God who's disturbing you in a kind, holy way. Come up. Matter of fact, while we're praying, heads bowed, if that's you and you're here, I just want to make sure, it may not be anyone, but if there's anyone here, you don't know the Lord, but you say, I need to come out of just living for self, and I need today to take a stand to make Jesus Lord. Would you just look at me and raise your hand? Just look at me. If anyone, you're saying, I'm ready today. I need to anyone before we come to a close. Anyone. Anyone. Thank you, Lord. Well, you can look up here. I'm going to show you just a 2-minute clip here before we're done. And you know, it's interesting that this billboard. How many of y'all saw the billboard sometime this past week in the news? Any of y'all see that billboard that I threw up here earlier? Did anyone see that? But while that is going on in Times Square in Manhattan, not far from there in Madison Square Garden. How many of y'all here, you're familiar with the contemporary Christian artist, Toby Mac? How many of y'all are familiar with Toby Mac? And matter of fact, he came about 2 years ago, and he ministered at Kings Park. Just a great, great guy. Early in his early days, was with DC Talk and has been out on his own. But anyway, this was just a real sweet clip that we found. Again, about 2.5 minutes on this. As you're watching this, Bill and Claudia Parker can't be here today. They're attending his mother. But just kind of have Bill on the brain. But anyway, just cue this up of Toby Mac, if you would. It's Bill Parker's son. And he looked just like Bill. Isn't that great? Why don't we just stand up together? Lord, we just pray for our friend Bill. Lord, as they're in this moment with their mother, just your grace to Bill and Claudia. Lord, and his son who's back, father, from Pakistan. Lord, just bless him and his stint here. Lord, thank you for what we've heard today. Thank you, dear God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, Lord, just help us to leave here, step into our mission field, and to do good. For your name, to bring fame to your name, we pray. Lord, I bless these people this week in the name of the Lord.